This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the important question. Cody Rhodes got his ass kicked on Saturday night at Elimination Chamber by John Cena and the Final Boss, baby! But before that, he was kind enough when they were in D.C. on Valentine's Day to author that just specifically for our show intro, which AMAC put together. So I appreciate Cody Rhodes doing that just for us.
Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have to pay him either. And that right there is a... There was a morning show that once was named the Junkies. Did I hear that right? Oh wait, oh no, that's on a podcast. The Junkies, the Sports Junkies, and JP from the Sports Junkies. You hear them every Monday through Friday from 6 to 10 a.m. right here on the Team 980, 106.7 The Fan, 910 The Fan in Richmond. I forget the FM frequency. I don't remember. You say it all the time, and I can't remember. I can never remember it. The Odyssey app, Monumental Sports Network on TV, the Sports Junkies. Yes, they're, I mean, very successful morning show, way more successful than I will ever be. Thank you for coming by. I appreciate
you. You know what's funny about this is, you know, I saw you hit the big time in one of the trades. There was a picture of Chris Russell, for those that don't know, in one of these inside trade magazines about radio.
Yes.
And the premise was, what does a sports radio show do when the NFL season is over?
Yes.
And I think you got like a sentence in there. Maybe two sentences.
It was a lot of it. My guy, Rock Mamola, John Rock Mamola, who I've known forever, was the author. It was Jason Barrett's thing, Barrett Sports Media. And you're right. There was like three or four questions that I was asked to answer. And of course, I gave like a paragraph-ish on it. And he used two quotes.
Right.
And there's about eight total words.
And what they got from Russell, and it's apropos to this segment right now, is it was like, well, we can talk wrestling a little bit more.
Yes.
I think that's all they took from you.
I heard you guys talking about wrestling as soon as I got in my car this morning.
Well, we can talk about wrestling a little bit more. And then this is what happens during dead periods. Like, oh, there's a guy out there. There's somebody sitting at the cubicles. I don't recognize. It's JP. Hey, you want to do the show?
Sure.
Because we both have to show up to this big client meeting coming up at 4 o'clock.
Yes. So we get to socially hobnob today.
And I felt it wasn't worth my time to drive all the way back home, only to have to drive back here
about
2.5 hours later.
So you've been here since 5 a.m. this morning?
Well, let's be honest. I get here at 5:50.
Okay, 5:50. It's all right. I usually get here about 12:30, 12:35.
But you know what was big time about this?
Did you go somewhere after the show? Did you take a nap?
I've been here. The big boss man, though, asked if I wanted to go to lunch.
Ooh.
We went to Shake Shack. He picked up the
tab. He picked up the tab.
Or as he said, he's a big, as we say on the Junkies, he's a big silly.
A big silly.
So he took a picture of his receipt. And I believe Odyssey pays for it. That's a business lunch.
Because when I went to Detroit for the Commanders playoff game, he's like, hey, man, he's like, you know, we'll take care of your food or whatever. He's like, just take a picture of what you're eating. And I'm like, I don't want anybody knowing how fat guys eat. Like, I'm going to eat in the press box. I'm going to eat for free. And that's exactly what I did. So I said, well, I got a bagel or something at like Reagan National Airport at like 5 in the morning. I'll send you a picture of that. That's not
take that
that's
picture.
Not too bad. So yeah, you got to take pictures because now it's not just receipts. They actually they want the picture to match up to the receipts, which is well, you know. Maybe
so this is an impressive cocktail.
Yes.
It looks like you have a Burger King. I'm guessing a soda in there.
Shouldn't have gone to Burger King after my doctor's appointment,
okay.
But I did get a Diet Coke Orange in here, which I killed long ago.
All right, so that's a soda, so that's caffeine. You have a Bang energy drink, it looks like. That's, I got to believe, laced with caffeine.
Yes.
And a 5-hour energy right next to that.
And then some
and
more
a cup
coffee.
Of coffee.
Brother,
I mean, that
listen,
is unbelievable.
Here's the thing. I mean, you're what, 54?
54.
Okay. So I'm 51.
All the junkies are born in 70. Makes the math easy.
I don't know how you guys do it because you get out of here, what, 10:15, 10:30
sure.
every morning, right? Generally?
Or 10 o'clock.
Okay. Or 10 o'clock. Or 10:02. I thought that was reserved for Lurch Papa.
Yeah. I mean, he's okay. usually the first, but I'm not that
see,
far.
See, I used
after.
To work in the mornings, obviously, yep. when Pete mm-hmm. and I were doing the show in the morning. So I'd see when you, so I'd take, like, I have a notebook.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. JP left at 10:03 and 38. No, I'm just.
You're turning in timesheets for us?
but when I'm driving home at, you know, I'll leave here 4:30, 4:45, somewhere in that range, because I need some time to decompress after the show. Generally, yeah. I do a hit, you know, with Grant and Danny, whatever. But by 6 o'clock, especially as it gets darker, sitting in traffic for an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes, I am zonked.
Yeah, it's brutal.
I just can't do it. So I like literally I'm a caffeine machine. So how do you guys, I mean, you don't drink coffee, right?
I don't
remember you drinking coffee. So
everybody's
what do you do
different.
To, what do you
I
do
mean,
to
Cakes
stay?
Cakes is like you. Mm. He will pump himself
I know,
with a ton
yeah.
of caffeine.
Yeah.
EB drinks coffee in the morning. Jason gets good sleep. He's responsible.
So he goes
to
sleep
to
at like 7:30 and
yeah,
wakes up
I mean,
at like 2:30 in the morning, right?
He's ridiculous.
What do you
and
do?
And then I can just get through fine without it. I like to drink
really?
A soda for lunch. So
okay,
soda on CK today.
But
I'll have a soda
but
for
you're
lunch.
Telling me you don't drink coffee. You don't drink anything during the show that would be caffeine related.
Just water.
And
no.
And then you drive home and you're fine.
I'm fine.
Oh man, and you have a damn busy life.
Somewhat,
I mean,
but I can still squeeze in a couple naps here and there.
Okay.
Wow. Once 3 o'clock comes, I mean, nobody cares about this stuff. Once
I
3
know.
O'clock comes,
I care.
Then I got carpool and,
yeah, okay.
you know,
I got
to be a dad,
see,
I coach soccer.
I could never do that. I mean, obviously I'm a dad, but I'm saying I could never do that without a poop ton of caffeine. I mean, that's why I'm in terrible shape, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. All right. So here's what some people might care about. What we think of Deebo Samuel. So I spent my first hour, I was gone Friday and Monday, but you know, I've been thinking about this. I think it's a good trade. I didn't hear a lot of you guys on the trade. I think it's a potentially good trade. It is not, in my opinion, a slam dunk, surefire, no questions asked, no worries, no nothing. What was basically your spin on it?
I think similarly. They only gave up a 5th-round pick.
Right.
So my immediate reaction was, holy crap. They got a 3rd-round pick for Jahan Dotson, who
mm-hmm.
was delivering next to nothing mm-hmm. here in Washington. They only surrender a 5th-round pick for somebody who's been an All-Pro. I know that was in 2021,
mm-hmm.
but we know that even last season, when he was on the decline, if you believe he's on the decline, he's better than OZ. He's better than De'Ami Brown. And I think with Cliff Kingsbury in this offense, he'll put him in different looks, and I think it's a good addition. On its surface, it's a good addition. Could it backfire? Of course, anything can backfire. We don't know what he's going to be like in the locker room. This year, we heard so much about Dan Quinn preaching brotherhood and the way that everybody seemed to buy in. He's on a 1-year deal. You know, much like with Marshawn Lattimore, there are questions there, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are already ready to cut the cord on Marshawn mm-hmm. Lattimore. Different type of guy in the locker room. Fiery guy. Deebo might be that type of guy. Also, we saw the pictures of him at Radio Row. He doesn't look to be in the best shape.
Mm-hmm.
You see reports, some say 20 pounds overweight. He says 10 pounds overweight,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is. Is he going to be motivated for a new deal? So there are questions, but I don't think they had much to lose. They surrendered a 5th-round pick.
And $17.5 million worth of cap space. And that's, for me, That's how I'm looking at it, is it's more than just a fifth-round pick. Now, do they have that money? Sure, but it's about 21, 22% of their available cap space, right?
That's fair, but aren't they going to try? Now, they haven't done it yet. Aren't they going to try and minimize that with the release of Jonathan Allen?
Yes, and that's something I haven't gotten to yet. Now, there's this weird contract bonus that I guess people are, I heard Linnell, who was in for me yesterday, talking about it, and then he got it corrected by Matt Maiocco out in San Francisco. I heard Sheehan talking about it. There's this thing running around where they can reduce the hit this year with an option that they acquire from the 49ers as part of the contract to like $5.5 million.
But that's all minutia. Like,
that is
really, let's talk about this. The offense was good last year.
Yeah.
They scored 28.5 points per game. So, huge improvement, right?
Absolutely.
But we know that they lacked some weapons. Terry McLaurin's fantastic. In terms of the other receivers, it was kind of patchwork. So, I think you're going to upgrade at receiver.
You have elevated,
which they've done.
You have elevated, even if he's not Debo in 2021,
right,
you've elevated the patchwork, if you will, at that other receiver spot.
Exactly.
Now, the question is, do you still need more? I think you do.
Well, what I was going to say is, does that make you better on the offensive line? Does that make you better on the defensive line? Have you caught up with Philadelphia?
That's fair.
Talent-wise?
That's fair.
Maybe not, but it makes you better at that position.
No doubt.
And what Adam Peters' job is as general manager, is I need to upgrade everywhere.
Yeah.
All right, now you don't do that at quarterback. You've got your quarterback for the future, but you're trying to improve the team everywhere you can. They saw an opportunity at a low cost for them, the fifth round pick, and the $17.5 million, which they have, and maybe they are kind of doing that math in their head. Well, hey, if Jonathan Allen's not here, it's kind of a wash. Yeah. They felt like it was worth it.
Now, I would say this. It's a good point about Jonathan Allen. And Jonathan Allen was a part of these trade discussions, according to Jeremy Fowler. And that fell through, right? They were trying to make that work. Either way, Jonathan Allen's probably not going to be here, certainly not going to be here at that number. So you're right. That part of it is mitigated. But now you've opened up another hole, a bigger hole, a defensive tackle than you already had. So, again, you know, it's probably like six of one, half dozen of the other. Here's what I wanted to ask you. I was trying to figure this out. I don't think De'Ami Brown was coming back unless he was dirt cheap, which I don't think he's going to be because of the scarcity of wide receivers and proven wide receivers on the free agent market with T. Higgins being franchised and all that. So I think De'Ami's going to make a lot more money than they would want to pay him. So I don't think De'Ami was ever coming back. Maybe I'm wrong. Noah Brown seems to me like a lesser version of Debo Samuel, maybe a bigger-bodied version, but he's a similar skill set. I don't know if his hands are as good. I don't know if he comes back. Jamison Crowder, whatever. I mean, you know, useful, but I wonder if Olamide Zaccheaus is the one guy out of the group of four. You do a radio show with three other guys, so you're used to like a group of four working in concert. I wonder if Olamide Zaccheaus is the only guy out of that foursome.
It's
that
possible.
Comes back.
Here's my view. Does it matter that
Doesn't
much?
Doesn't matter that.
Well, Debo is going to matter. Terry McLaurin is going to matter. Sure, they need help. They drafted Luke McCaffrey, so they've got three guys under contract. You know, those guys are all, in my opinion, kind of dime a dozen. They gave them some production, so I don't think that's going to be a focus. Maybe they want OZ back. Maybe they want De'Ami Brown back. You know, a lot of people are fired up about De'Ami Brown. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
You've seen him for four seasons.
Yeah.
He had some production in the last five games.
He did elevate right
the
last couple of games.
In the postseason. Mm-hmm. He also had two fumbles.
He did.
So it wasn't all like fantastic, like De'Ami Brown's this great wide receiver out there. He coughed it up twice in the playoffs.
Yeah. Which one? All right. I know it doesn't matter that much to you based on what you just said, but if I gave you one of those four.
We did this on the show today.
Oh, okay. I missed this.
So three of the junkies went with De'Ami Brown.
Okay.
I actually went Jamison Crowder.
Ooh, all right.
Gives you
like
little
that.
Special teams.
All right. I like that.
So
had the big
that said, and one of those,
had two big touchdowns in the Landover win against the Eagles.
And I feel like he's kind of a shiftier receiver now. He's a little older now, and I don't know that they need to rely on it. But
another
again,
guy who's dealt with a lot of injuries.
You and I both have been doing radio for a long time. This is almost a pet peeve of mine. We focus far too much, especially in training camp, about the fifth, sixth, seventh receivers. You know, in a couple months, we're going to be like, well, are they going to cut this guy or cut that guy?
Yeah.
Well, it's not really going to matter.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Would you, knowing that Debo Samuel is going into the final year of his deal, and knowing what he's been and what questions are. But Terry McLaurin's also going into the final year of his deal. Would you even consider a contract extension with Debo now, or do you have to wait until Terry's is done, or do you have to wait until at least midway through the season to see how Debo is performing, responding health-wise, physicality-wise, football-wise?
Get Terry done as soon as possible, and at least wait till midseason to see what's going on with Debo.
All right.
See if he fits in the locker room. Again, for this team and this coach, the brotherhood, the locker room, it's very important. At least they say it's very important.
Does it concern you that he's asked for trades twice in his career? He's been a little bit of a pain in the ass.
I think it concerns me a little bit. Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Remember, he got into it with the field goal kicker.
He did.
In Tampa. I hate field goal kickers, though, too.
You know, some are going to argue that that's his competitive spirit, though, coming out.
That's fair.
The guy that's playing hard and wants to win.
Sometimes you need a little bit of a badass. Like Marshawn Lattimore, I know people are real high on him. He's a little bit of a badass.
Sure.
Sometimes you need that. You know, you can't have a bunch of choir boys.
Totally agree with you. So I think you wait. You definitely don't rush into giving some sort of an extension unless Peters, with his experience in San Francisco, maybe has this relationship with Debo where he trusts the work ethic.
Right,
like, what I don't know is a lot of people, like, we're having a discussion on the Junkies. They're like, oh, he'll get in shape. It's the final year of his deal.
Right.
Well, he's also made millions and millions of dollars. You don't know that.
You don't know that. But people think that will be the ultimate motivation. I also don't like people that constantly ask for trade requests. You know, like, listen, not everything in life is perfect.
Dante,
I'm not asking for a trade request to WTOP, you know?
But if they offered a big bonus, you'd listen.
Maybe. did that happen at one point during my career between these two stations?
I don't know.
But
Dante Whitner.
CK would tell you I plunged a knife into his back, a sword into his back in 2010, right before training camp. Sorry, CK.
So Dante Whitner, who played with the 49ers, and actually 1 year with the Redskins, years ago was on the show today, and he threw out his opinion of how many players, percentage-wise, coast in the NFL versus ones with extreme work ethic. He said he believes 99% coast.
Way high.
Is Debo Samuel arriving at a stage in his career at age 29 where he's coasting versus doing everything it takes? His definition of coasting was kind of like, this is what most players do versus the 1% that do everything in terms of diet in the off season, that it takes to be the absolute best you can be.
What do you believe that number is?
I have no idea.
I don't know if you know this about me.
I don't know if you know this about me. I've never been in the NFL.
I know that. And you've never really like covered a team on a beat or anything like that. So, I mean, I have, obviously.
I think what he means is the extra. What's the percentage of people that do the extra, the absolute everything? So, let's say Debo Samuel, ideally, when he came into the league, weighed 214 pounds. Will he do everything to be at that perfect playing weight? Or
I'll tell you what,
I mean,
guys like Ryan Kerrigan, right, during his playing days. I mean, he was eating kale 360 days a year,
right,
to stay in shape. You know, but not everybody is Ryan Kerrigan. I get that. I totally get that. I just don't know if the number is 99%, but I mean,
it's one guy's opinion.
So,
now, he was in the league.
He was in the locker room. He was in multiple organizations.
But he was also saying that's what separates the great from the Hall of Famers, right? And at one point in his career, 2021, not that long ago, you could make an argument. Debo Samuel was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Scored a ton of touchdowns. Did it with his legs, catching the football. So that's the version that Adam Peters obviously wants to see here in Washington.
Yeah.
Remains to be seen what they get.
You can hear the Sports Junkies, of course. A brand new radio show. They've just been at it for a month or so, right?
Closing in on 30 next year.
30 years.
Come out with us. I think we're going to do a trip to Vegas. You've been doing this a long time, too.
I've been in it for a long time. I have I have not had your success. I can tell you that much. Yeah, I've been.
What are you talking about? You got a wrestler to do a promo for your show. Let's make it full circle. When you were a kid, did you think the WWE champion, right? Is he the champion? Did you think the WWE champion would do a promo for your radio show?
Magical powers,
big
man.
Big time.
Unbelievable.
Did you think you'd have four energy drinks plus a coffee plus a soda?
Did you see Grimace?
I did
not. This was sent in by a faithful listener. This is meant to represent Linnell Willingham, who sometimes pokes his head in here. He got very mad when Doc called him Grimace at one point, and he started throwing things, and we put up pictures all over the studio. He got very mad. He broke the Grimace, which the late Pete Medhurst had brought in to the studio. So we got this sent to us, and now we keep him right here.
Nice.
Just so we're permanently – do you guys – I mean, I watch you guys all the time on Monumental, listen whenever I'm in the car, which I'm not enough in the car at that time of the morning. Do you guys have any, like, I mean, I know you have all sorts of weirdities as part of the show, but is there any, is there anything that I'm not aware of or remembering, like, superstition type things?
How would I know what you're not aware of?
Well, I'm just saying.
I have no way of knowing what you're not aware of.
I'm trying to think in my mind, what do I not know of? Is there any like weird superstition-y type things that you have to have to do a radio show? You're pretty straight up, right?
I don't think any of us have anything when it comes to the radio show. We make fun of Cakes because he does certain things when we get when he gets on an airplane.
Right.
You know, he's got to do like some sort of like tap and a kiss, little OCD.
But you don't have to do anything to do the radio show.
No.
Or, you know, you don't have to have a certain pair of shoes that I don't know about. Okay.
No, somebody pushes the on button and then we talk.
Valdez and Drab. That's you know, Drab's my do. Boss.
I do know that. Big time brand manager. What has he done?
He's done a lot of things. He cleaned up the studio. We've talked about a bunch of things that we want to do. What else?
Is the brand changing? Has the brand changed? Well, give me some brand changing.
I think the brand is still the same.
Okay.
It's still the Team
brand.
980, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a, okay. What do so they call it?
Managing
not a legendary, but a...
Hallmark station?
No, there's another word for it.
Iconic?
There's another word that I'm not thinking of. I mean,
I love how engaged your producers are during the segment.
AMAC is probably studying the Giants depth chart. Real quickly, before we run out of time, you work with Drab every morning for 4+ hours a day, let's call it, right? Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea how he feels about me?
I don't.
Has that conversation ever come up that you can tell me about besides that guy's an idiot?
He hasn't fired you yet, right?
Okay, that's a good thing. That's good.
He's the boss.
That's good. Yeah.
Look, he's a radio lifer. I don't know if you know this about Drab. Yeah. When he was a teenager, he knew that he wanted to do this. Went to Arizona State to study it, and now he is your boss.
He's such a lifer. He was wearing a radio.com sweatshirt.
There you go.
he was wearing that last week. And I was like, Drabby, come on. We haven't been radio.com in like 7 years. Has it been that long? I guess it has been.
Something I don't know.
I don't remember. I appreciate you stopping by, making some time for us. So you're going to be at the same event. I'm going to be at that event.
Are you changing, by the way, or are you wearing that?
Are you saying that I'm way underdressed?
I'll say this. Drab today actually brought this up on the show. During one of the commercial breaks, he said, JP, do you mind if I give you some unsolicited advice?
Ooh, okay.
Which you're like, okay, you got a brace for that.
Right.
And
He's my boss.
He was complimentary at first. It was about fashion. He said, can I give you unsolicited advice about fashion? Now, I said, self-admittedly, I would give myself a 3 out of 10 in terms of fashion. It's just not my thing.
Like for the show?
Because
I've seen you in some fancy schmancy pictures out, man. You dress up nice.
Maybe. But anyway, I don't really care. But when we have this client meeting, I wore... I don't know if you call this a sweater, something a little bit nicer that goes with my jeans.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, you look like $1 million with that sweater and pants and your jeans and everything matches. He goes, but that jacket that you wear. So he just hammered my jacket, which is a freebie that I got from Brett, Sup Dog's freebie, Under Armour jacket. He said, I should be wearing a pea coat. I'm like, I don't even know what a pea coat is.
I don't know what a pea coat is.
So that's what the boss.
Okay.
The little feedback I get from the boss.
I don't think I probably should wear an Army-Navy quarter zip over there. I mean, I look terrible to begin with, so I did actually bring a nice dress shirt and a sport coat. But not dress pants and not dress shoes. I go halfway. I'm 50-50. I don't care. At some point, people are either going to love me or people are going to hate me.
Did you catch that? Do you remember Rod Gardner?
Yes.
His nickname was?
50-50.
50-50.
There you go.
Not good for a receiver.
JP from the Sports Junkies. Listen every Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. right here on the Team 980, 106.7 The Fan and everything in between on the Odyssey app as well. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you. That is JP from the Sports Junkies. We got to take a timeout. You whispered something in my ear. Was it something that I need to know about, AMAC, or no? Oh, okay. We have big breaking news in the NFL. Should we tell the folks now, or should we tell them when we come back? Big breaking news in the NFL, and it's something that the the Giants didn't want to do. Oh, that's right. Yeah, we'll give you the details next. Stay tuned. All right, that is Pat McAfee just moments ago, and it's all over the internet now. AMAC, you saw this and hopped on it right away while we were talking to JP. I thought you were studying the Giants' depth chart for how bad it was. In reality, you were, because yeah. Saquon used to be on it, and now he's not. Now he's won a Super Bowl, and now he's very, very rich. But a two-year extension. McAfee says $20.6 million average per year, $36 million guaranteed at signing. So if the average is 20.6, I mean, it's almost all guaranteed. $15 million available in more incentives. I mean, listen, I don't know how anybody could root against Saquon Barkley, no matter what team you root for. The dude is just, I mean, he seems like, from an outsider's perspective, like everything that you would want. I mean, see him running around with his kids prior to, at, after.
Great leader.
The Super Bowl, great leader, great player, dual versatile.
And I want to give credit to Brian. He's the one who actually found the story. I can't take credit
for this.
Thank
you, Brian.
Brian's the one who saw it come up on the timeline and saw this guy get big bank.
And it's funny because while you guys were working on that, JP was like, what's up with your producers? They're not paying attention. I was like, no, he's probably just studying the Giants depth chart for how bad it is.
and instead,
you were actually doing worse. My bad. I sort of defended you, but I was trying to make it funny, you know? All right, so that's the big breaking news. What do we got to do here? We got to take a timeout, right? Again, trending alert, and get back on track, and then back to the calls. Is that what we're going to do? Because we went a little bit late with JP. All right, your calls coming straight up. Again, lots of big NFL news on this Tuesday, March the 4th, as we are 1 week away from free agency. Let's do it. All right, so we just mentioned the Saquon Barkley, a contract extension, just gave you some of the details. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Jets are officially set to cut Davante Adams with 2 years and a rough average of $36 million per year left on his deal. They just acquired him midseason from the Las Vegas Raiders. Certainly a possibility, you would think, I guess, at outside wide receiver for the Commanders to consider, even with Deebo Samuel unofficially, officially in the fold. The Dallas Cowboys, they were getting set to franchise tag Osa Odighizawa, one of their interior defensive tackles, before today's deadline. Instead, they reach a four-year, $80 million deal with Odighizawa, and CeeDee Lamb has restructured his contract, saving the Cowboys around $20 million worth of cap space. The Bears, they make a trade. They're getting Jonah Jackson, interior offensive lineman from the Los Angeles Rams, for a 2025 sixth round pick. The St. Louis Cardinals leading the New York Mets 1-0 on my television screen. I thought I saw the Nationals in action on the other side, but I'm struggling to pull that up, so just give me 1 second here as all the Grapefruit League action goes. Yeah, oh, there it is. The Cardinals playing a split squad. That's what it is. And they lead the Nationals 2-0 in the top of the seventh, and that's what's trending. All right, good to have you with us. 2:37 on a Tuesday afternoon. If you're listening live, maybe if you're listening on demand, it's another time. Either way, you can listen on demand on the Always Live and Free and On Demand Odyssey app. Just go to the Team 980 on the Odyssey app, and you could fire up any segment, any hour, any show, any day. If you missed JP from the Sports Junkies joining us for about 25 minutes, it's fun. Good to have him aboard in the studio. Appreciate him spending some time with us, and we had a little fun and frolic as well. Saquon Barkley with the big contract extension, CeeDee Lamb restructuring his deal, $20 million worth of space. Everybody thinks that money just disappears. It doesn't. Eventually, the Cowboys are going to be in continuous hell. That's what happens when you restructure contracts. That was the one thing, in a lot of ways, that I agreed with Bruce Allen on. Neither here nor there. I mentioned the Nationals during the trending alert. They're down now 4-0. Not that it matters, it's spring training. But one positive news, or a bit of news on the day, Jake Irvin, 4 shutout innings. Only allowed 2 hits. Walked 1, struck out 1. Jake Irvin, 2 hits. Attaboy. Attaboy. Looking forward to the Nationals season, especially with all the Nationals news about the Masson deal, the jersey patch sponsorship. It's not going to be a, you know, Nationals Park for too much longer. I don't know how they're going to do all that, but you know, maybe it'll be, I don't know, Geico Nationals Park. I have no idea how they're going to do that, but whatever. I mean, eventually and finally, they're waking up to the reality that, you know, you can make money in other ways besides ticket sales. Whole nother ball of wax that we'll try and get into in the 3 o'clock hour. All right. We've been talking a lot of Deebo Samuel, obviously. One thing that I have not addressed just yet is this. What I asked JP, do they do a contract extension with Deebo now? He's got 1 year, $17.5 million left on the deal. Adam Peters knows him. Not only does Adam Peters know him, but people forget about this. Anthony Lynn was a part of that coaching staff in San Francisco as well. So he knows him well. You know, Dan Quinn obviously has a very close relationship with Kyle Shanahan. So I'm sure Kyle and DQ have talked about Deebo Samuel. He's a great guy. I mean, Deebo was very close, in his own words, and reportedly with Kyle Shanahan. Do they give him a contract extension to, like, lower the cap number from $17.5 million this year? And so that you don't have Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel going into the final year of their deals? The answer for me is they should. I mean, if Terry is amenable, and I would assume he is, I mean, you can't do it at $25 million. But if, say, it's $30, $31 million, roughly, average annual value. You get Terry done hopefully in the next week, maybe two, before the free agent market heats up. And I don't think there's anybody that would dramatically alter it, with the exception of a Ja'Marr Chase extension, which clearly is a priority for the Bengals. Now, Terry's not Ja'Marr Chase, but if Ja'Marr Chase signs for 37 per year, that probably elevates Terry to 32 or 33 per year. Somewhere in that range. So I'd try and get Terry done, if I could, at 30, 31 a year on average. Then you do your free agency, you do your I do not do an extension for Deebo Samuel right here, right now. I got to see Deebo Samuel healthy. I got to see Deebo Samuel right. I got to see Deebo Samuel every day in my building, every day on my practice field, and on the field. And being something close to what Deebo was in 2021. And at times, after that, there's all sorts of analytics that'll tell you Deebo Samuel wasn't right last year and hasn't been right or hasn't been anywhere close to what he was in 2021. I got it. I got it all. I think, honestly, the one thing that, and plenty of people have mentioned it, I'm not breaking any ground here, when you think of what this offense was last year at its heart, at its root, was horizontal, quick game passing, screens, quick slants, gadgety type, jet motion, sweeps, fakes, handoffs, quick, get it out of, let Jaden get rid of it, and physicality on the edge from the wide receivers in terms of run blocking and also screen blocking. Remember, Terry had the huge screen touchdown in Detroit in the playoff game. That was set up by, I think it was Diami and OZ, with unbelievable blocking at the point of attack. It's not just run blocking, it's pass blocking too. If you're going to do a lot of the short game stuff, right? Got to have guys that can block on the perimeter edge. Well, Debo can do all that. He is a perfect fit. I have no doubt. He is a perfect fit in this scheme. Is he going to be available? And then on top of that, does he request, wait a second. Wait. Chris, don't go there. For a third time in his career, does he request a trade? Say before the trade deadline, when he's not getting a contract extension, if he doesn't get one, when maybe he's feeling not so much love, maybe he's banged up, maybe he's hurt, maybe he's just not a fit, maybe for whatever reason he's lost it. What if he doesn't get a contract extension? Does he demand, ask for, request a third trade in his career? And a third trade in less than four years. Something we have to consider. All right, let's go back to the phones. All right, let's get him in here. We haven't heard from him in a while. P-A-U-L-Y. Pauly. What up, Pauly?
Hell to the W, man. P-A-U-L-I-E.
Whatever. I forgot. I misspelled it. Hey, I was off for a couple of days.
Here you go talking. Yeah, it shows because you come back talking in your negative hypotheticals.
Oh,
he's going to ask for another
God,
trade.
God forbid I do my job and bring up all the potential
that's
issues.
You're not doing your job.
Yes,
bro.
It is.
You're not doing your job.
Yes, it is. Instead of being a cheerleader like the rest of everybody is with my freaking pom-pom surgically attached, I'm actually addressing all the potential issues. It's called my job.
We just traded for him 2 days ago, and now you're talking about him demanding another trade before the trade.
I didn't say he's going to. I said he's done it twice.
It
I said he's done it twice already. If he doesn't get a contract extension, you don't think he would do it again?
Yeah, listen, man, the writing was on the wall in San Francisco. Uh-huh. He knew it. They knew it. Everybody uh-huh. knew it. You've seen what happened. They drafted Pearsall. All right, Juwan Jennings had an outstanding season in his replacement.
Yes, I'm aware.
They got Brandon. They just signed Brandon IU. The writing was on the wall.
I understand that. I'm not dumb. I wasn't born yesterday.
Let me finish talking, man. 2 days after the trade, for you to say he might demand another trade? Like, come on, man.
I asked whether he would do that. He's already done it twice in his career. He's already done it twice in his career.
In his career.
Yes.
Stop it, man. And I ain't even waving the pom-poms, man. Because I'm nah on the trade. You can't say it's a great trade, and you can't say it's a bad trade.
You know what, Pauly?
He gets on the field.
You know what, P-A-U-L-Y? You're mad at me because I'm smart, and I bring up all the things that everybody forgets about and isn't aware of and doesn't think of. That's why you're mad.
You know what, R-U-S-S-O? No. I'm mad because you keep bringing up these BS hypothetical situations that you shouldn't even be bringing up 2 days after a trade, period. I'm mad because you and JP got up here and talked for 35 minutes about something y'all could have had a phone conversation.
25
nothing
minutes.
Nothing to do with what we're talking about today. Whatever.
Yeah, I know. We didn't talk about Debo Samuel at all.
It seemed like Tim with all the boring bull BS that was going on.
I know. We didn't talk about Debo Samuel at all.
I'll get off at 4. I'll get off at 10. Get out of here. Anyways, man, listen. You was right, though, but I'm just messing with you.
I need another weekend off from you. That's what I need.
Hey, Russell, welcome back.
Yeah.
Welcome back,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Nah, but,
thanks, Pauly.
Real talk, though. Listen, man. Listen, we won't know. On paper, it seems like an upgrade. But like you said, we won't know until the season starts. And his health. He's a professional. He's getting a fresh start, right? He's coming with a team that has a upcoming quarterback that everybody seems to love around the league.
And this is what we said
was going to happen. You know what I mean? And I said this a couple of weeks ago. I said, look, last year we got a lot. We signed a lot of players on 1 year deals. I said, but with the success we had this past season, that pool of players on 1 year deals is going to be substantially better than the pool that we was able to get last year. And he kind of put Debo in. I know he wasn't a free agent, but he still was a guy. He had to want to come here. You know what I mean? And he's basically on a 1 year deal. And it's going to benefit for the both of us. Because like you said, he's not really a true number two receiver. He's a weapon more than anything. He's an H-back, and at this point in his career, a glorified tight end. right? So you still need to sign another guy on the other side to stretch the field, whether that's bringing De'Ami back, which I would like to do, and I don't think that he's going to break the bank or put that much financial pressure on us where we can't offer him a contract. You think differently, I think what I think. You're not going to get into that argument again. You know what I mean? Or whether it's drafting a young guy with some speed on the outside. So, but for everybody saying, and I hear people say, I just heard JP say that he wasn't the first one. Well, it's not doing, you know, it's not going to stop help the defense. It's not. Listen, man, this is move number one on March the 3rd or March the 2nd, whenever the trade went down. It's move number one. Yeah, right? Come back in June. In June, if they went out and signed and drafted five, six receivers and only signed one defensive tackle and one offensive lineman, then let's have that criticism.
Yeah.
But for people to say, well, I don't see where it helped the defense, it's the first move.
No, that's fair.
We got
that's a fair lot
of moves to make.
That's fair.
To make, man.
That's fair.
So, hey,
no, it's more than one
back.
More than one position.
Baby.
Ah, thank you. I appreciate it. P-A-U-L-I-E. I like to twist the horns a little bit. 249, Team 980. We will take a quick timeout. The Nationals are surging. I'm not allowed to talk about the Nationals while they're playing. I'm just doing a bit. We're talking, obviously, Deebo Samuel. I would, again, not give him a contract extension right away. I think that would be irresponsible. Terry comes first, clearly, and then we worry about Deebo. I'm not worried that, you know, this doesn't help the defense. They'll help the defense. They know. Trust me, they know. Another question is, they're starting to run out of, or not run out of, they're starting to run thin on draft picks to use for this draft as compensation. They still have a first, a second, and a third. It's not like they don't. But, you know, they don't have a fourth. They don't have a fifth. They have 1/6. I think 2/7. Starting to run a little thin. Little thin. But if Marshawn Lattimore and Deebo Samuel hit, then they're going to have a very, very improved team on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. Yeah, baby. We continue along, approaching 3 o'clock. You can hit me up on Twitter, X, Twix, whatever you want to call it, at WrestleMania621, at WrestleMania621. It is your chance to experience the ultimate college hoops tip-off weekend. It is at Odyssey's Buckets and Bets, happening March 20th through the 23rd at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida. Listen to the Sports Junkies this week for the daily keyword to enter at theteam980.com. For your chance to win, you and a friend will fly away to Florida to watch every upset buzzer beater on massive LED screens. I wonder if people read that as massive LED screens, right? Because we in broadcasting are generally, you know, told, yeah, just read the script. And it just says LED, which I know is LED, but it says just LED. It's not hyphenated or anything like that. Massive LED screens. And enjoy real-time betting action. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, Hollywood. Not that Hollywood, as in Los Angeles. Hollywood, Florida, baby. Yeah. Did you know there's a Beverly Hills in Florida as well? It's almost like Florida and California were battling for names.
Yeah.
You know, there's a Hollywood, Florida. Hollywood, obviously. Is Hollywood in California, is that an actual town or city? Or is it just referred to as Hollywood? And meaning it's part of Los Angeles. That's what I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. See, L.A. is kind of one of those weird places where you got like the city.
You could just stop there, right there. Bunch of weirdos in that place.
I mean, Florida's pretty weird, too. I think Florida has L.A.
Florida's more dumb than weird. But it is dumb and weird. I didn't mean to spook you. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you were looking
at me like, I can't believe he just said that.
No.
Florida is, I mean, the most idiots per square inch that you could possibly find.
Yeah. It's just a weird place. A lot of weird things go on in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Weird news stories.
Yeah. Well, that's where we kind of discuss. I always thought it, and a lot of my family has lived in Florida. So, you know, again, take that for what it's worth. But a lot of our, you know, dum-dums of the day, especially early on in the history of doing that, came from Florida. Not as much anymore. But then there was like this Florida man thing or whatever. I don't know. Anyway. All right. Coming up, hour number three. We will get a little more into the Nats Masson situation and what it means. As well, the Caps with a big win, I would say come from behind, but it really wasn't. It was a stave off them, the Senators, and now heading to MSG. And a contract extension for Charlie Lindgren. What's next? Also, more on Deebo Samuel. And one thing I wanted to tackle is this notion, right, that Jonathan Allen reportedly was a part of the trade negotiations. We'll discuss that component. Plus, what else can they do at wide receiver next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app?